This is Fresh Air. There aren't many great roles for actresses in Hollywood. Christine Lottie is selective about what she takes and stands out in just about any role she gets. She starred as an eccentric aunt in Housekeeping, a radical activist forced to live underground with her family and running on empty, and a tough and spirited factory worker in the World War II homefront film Swing Shift. On Broadway, she starred in The Heidi Chronicles. Perhaps you saw her in the telemovie No Place Like Home, about a woman whose family ends up homeless. Now she's starring in Leaving Normal as a cynical cocktail waitress named Darley, who leaves her Wyoming town to hit the road with her friend Marianne and start a new life in Alaska. It's a role Lottie was very glad to get.
Darley Peters is one of the greatest roles I've ever read. She's so complex. She's really funny and seemingly all together and tough and confident, but underneath she's got this incredibly dark hole, this place of self-loathing and insecurity and low self-esteem. And she's so many colors, so many different things to play, and I really fell in love with her.
You love this character. I'm wondering if you feel disappointed by the critical response to the film.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I didn't read too many reviews, but I understand that they were very mixed.
The reviews of the film were mixed. The ones I read were uniformly good about you and your performance in it.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
But it is disappointing that more people didn't get the film, because I really love the film, and I think that it's so great to have a film about women. First of all, that's a very rare thing these days. And I think it's unfair and disappointing that it's compared to Thelma and Louise so much, because the similarities between the two movies are so superficial, and I think that they shouldn't be compared, and certainly Leaving Normal shouldn't be dismissed because it was supposedly trying to rip off Thelma and Louise and didn't quite make it, because the truth is the script of Leaving Normal was around even before the script of Thelma and Louise was around, so that part's unfair.
Give me a sense of how difficult it is to find good roles for an actress, you know? What you're up against when people send you scripts?
Well, I think it's always been tough for women in Hollywood, except, of course, in the 40s, for some reason, that there were so many wonderful parts for women. And I don't know whether it's because of a backlash against feminism, which I think is very real, or because movies about women supposedly don't make money. I don't know what the reasons are, but there are very few good parts for women. It's changing a little bit. I mean, with the success of movies like Thelma and Louise and Fried Green Tomatoes, more movies like Leaving Normal and will be made. And that's the bottom line, I think, is if movies about women make money, then there'll be more of them.
Do you often turn down roles because you think that they're dumb portrayals of women or offensive portrayals of women?
I do. I've always turned down roles that I felt were exploitive and portrayed women in a less than three-dimensional way. And there's so many of those movies. I mean, we've all seen them.
Yes, we have.
I know. And they're offensive to me and to a lot of women I know, and I don't want to be a part of those movies. That really narrows it down, though, because that means that I can't play an accessory kind of girlfriend decoration part. So that's like 90% of all the parts for women. And I can't be in movies that are excessively violent, and especially violent towards women, so that rules out another huge percentage of the movies. So the truth is, it's hard to find really good three-dimensional, complex leading parts for women.
My guest is Christine Lottie. She starred in such films as Housekeeping, Swing Shift, Running on Empty, and The Doctor. Her new film is Leaving Normal. We'll take a short break, then talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Christine Lottie is my guest. Now, I read that when you went to college, University of Michigan at Ann Arbor,
mm-hmm.
that you joined a sorority, then quickly dropped out.
Yeah. I lasted
This is 1968, right?
Yeah, 1968. And I lasted one semester in that sorority, Delta Gamma, and I left very quickly. And I was going through a lot of changes then, as were many of my peers at that time. and decided that a sorority was probably the last thing I should be in, and I was really reevaluating everything I had ever learned and rejecting just about everything I'd ever learned, as we all did back then. And decided that the whole thrust of the sorority was to get these girls, young girls, married. That seemed to be the main focus, was that not about careers or about empowerment or developing other qualities to feel, you know, proud of it within yourself. But it was really, the focus was to try to find a man, and I found that finally pretty offensive.
So how did you change your life after leaving the sorority?
Well, I became a hippie really fast, which of course meant that a lot of it was superficial, and then years later it became, I think, integrated into my value system. But I moved into an apartment with some girlfriends and became quite active politically, although never too active, because I was always rehearsing plays. I was always involved in some kind of production at the university or in street theater or in coffee shops. I was doing a lot of theater.
How did you start becoming aware of the women's movement?
Well, I had this sort of feminist epiphany when I was in New York City. I moved to New York, and I was very determined never to sell out and do commercials or anything horrifying like that, because I was a real artiste. You know, I thought of myself that way. And then I faced the realities of waitressing and not being able to get an agent and just not having any luck professionally. So I changed my mind after about a year and a half of this kind of life, and decided that probably the best thing in life would be to find a sell out and to find a national commercial. So I went on a lot of auditions, and I was just too weird. I never quite looked like a housewife enough, and I didn't shave my legs, and that was a big problem. And I was like a gypsy, this one agent said. Could you not look so much like a gypsy, Christine? Could you try to look like a housewife more? So I wasn't having a lot of luck, and I answered this ad in the trades, and this guy, I went up to meet this casting director, and he said, let me take some pictures. I think I might have a couple of national commercials for you. So he took some pictures, and he called me up the next day, and he said, come into my office. I don't want to tell you this over the phone. So I thought, well, that's weird, but I went up to his office, and he said, you have landed two national commercials. And I said, oh, my God, that's incredible. When do I audition? And he said, oh, no, you don't have to audition. See, I showed your pictures to some director friends of mine, and you are exactly the type they're looking for. And slowly it dawned on me that this guy was a pimp for his director friends, and I would have to sleep with these director friends to get these national commercials. So I was shocked and appalled and horrified. And when I turned him down, he said I was a fool, that basically I was not special enough, I had no connections in the business, and how was I going to make it unless I slept my way to the top? So that I left his office, and I was very angry and crying. I remember walking in the streets of New York for hours. And that was my epiphany, the moment. I mean, it was the day I became a real feminist, and I was determined to get ahead by making choices that afforded me self-respect and accountability.
Did you ever get your national commercials?
I did. I did Joy dishwashing liquid, where you can the woman looks into the plate and says, hey, I can see myself in the plate. So that was one, and that was great. Luckily, I got to play my son's softball coach, or what do you call them?
Little League
manager or something. So I was able to rationalize. At least I wasn't just a housewife. I was also this little league coach. we there's wonderful ways in which we all can rationalize just about anything we do.
By then, were they convinced that you looked more like a middle American homemaker or something? You know.
Well, yeah, I did. I did finally style my hair, and I think I did finally shave my legs, and that was a step in the right direction. But I still never looked. I tried. I really tried to look like those gals, and I just never quite made that.
So did the national commercials help get you theater or film roles? I mean, does anybody watch the commercials and say, wow, she can really look at her reflection in a dish, let's get her for this part?
No. The truth is, I don't think I was good at those commercials. I really don't know how to act and sell a product and look into the camera. And I'm, this has nothing to do with acting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember another one I did called Spray and Vac. That was a really fun one. I had my clothes were all Velcroed from the back, and I was wearing these like really grungy dungarees and a work shirt. And I said something like, now you don't have to look like this when you shampoo your rug. Now you can look like this. And my clothes were wired, and they were all flown off me. And underneath, I was wearing a really nice polyester ensemble. And then I said, now you can look like this when you shampoo your rug. Oh, God, the memories.
Oh, that's
memories.
Great.
Yeah. So, no, I was never good at them. I remember I really couldn't get the line out, the most important line of the copy saying, Spray and Vac, the no scrub rug shampoo. That was the final, like, button. And I was so nervous and so uncomfortable. And it was so against everything, I guess, that I believed in, but I needed the money. So I would say, Spray and Vac, the no scrub, scrub, cut. Spray and Vac, the no scrub, scrub. Cut, and maybe 50 takes, I had to say. I couldn't say it. It was like, it was writing on the wall. I should have really looked at that at that point.
So how did you get your breaks into stage and movies?
Well, I did about a dozen, maybe 13, 14 off Broadway plays for no money, but it was really great training. I did all kinds of plays. And then I guess my big break on stage was at the Public Theater, the New York Shakespeare Festival. I did David Mamet's play called The Woods, directed by Ulu Grosbard, and it was a two-character play, myself and Chris Sarandon, and that was, I think, for me, it was my big break. And I won a Theater World Award, which is the award they give to newcomers on the stage in New York. And then after that came some television and some, and then my first movie was Injustice for All.
Mm-hmm. If you don't mind my asking, it seems to me something that most, or at least many actresses and also many women on TV face in their 40s is the plastic surgery question, because you're, you know, you're expected to like not have any wrinkles,
right,
and to maybe like fix that nose or something. But mostly, you know, like when you enter your 40s, it's the question of wrinkles. How are you going to resist that?
Well, I have so far. I've been, I'm very, it's a real dilemma. I mean, I think a lot of women, especially when they get into their late 40s, maybe early 50s, they face the question of, well, do I get a facelift or do I never work again? Or
yeah,
do I
right.
become invisible? And I really would hate to succumb to that kind of philosophy. I've never been invisible. As a feminist, I've always struggled for, I guess, visibility and empowerment. And to suddenly accept that kind of philosophy seems completely ridiculous to me. Although it may be a reality, I may really have to face that decision someday. I think it's premature now, but it might be down the line for me, but frankly, I see myself going back to the stage and having a really wonderful career on stage. And if film parts for women in their late 40s and early 50s are non-existent, then I will be very happy to be on stage and maybe direct. I'm not sure. That seems to be an option a lot of women who have chosen not to try to get on the youth youthmobile, you know, which
right.
seems like a never-ending process. If you start with a nip and a tuck there, then what about here and then? And it's also sort of horrific to me. But a lot of women who've chosen not to go on to that path seem to turn to directing, which is an exciting option.
Mm-hmm. Well, Christine Lotti, I wish you the best, and I want to thank you a lot for talking with us.
Well, thanks. It was fun.
Christine Lotti stars in the film Leaving Normal.